It's good to get a little convicted every once in a while. Some of the pastors, they refer to it as shearing the sheep. That's not what I'm going to do this morning, just so you know. But that song, when I first heard it, I was kind of new at this whole thing. I must have been about 19. And this whole we are the body concept I had read before, but I really liked that. So if we are the body, how come nothing's happening? How comes nothing happening? Naturally, it sits on some presuppositions. I think things are happening here. I'm not giving you guys a hard time. But could there be more? We've heard a lot about servanthood and stewardship and things of that nature, right? We've been talking about that as we're getting into the act section of our Believe series. We're already about halfway through. We did Believe, the 10 that we believe, and now we're into the acting, halfway through the act. This morning, you will hear more along that same line. Are you noticing a theme, Christian? It seems the more I study my Bible, the more I study it, the deeper I wade into my attempts at apprehending or even maybe somehow comprehending its vast truths, the more it requires of me. It's a book that kind of asks that question. And if you are a Christian, how come you keep swearing? Right? This Bible, it just keeps asking more of me. The more I look at Christ, the more I understand what total surrender is and my call to its freedom. Already it's just mind-boggling. The 2017 Christian doesn't think giving it all up to someone else is freedom. That can't possibly be freedom. I want to talk to you something about, continue talking about something counterculture. Very often, since we live in a secular, post-Christian, post-truth nation, we find ourselves moving against the grain in matters of morals, values, beliefs. So it's not surprising that we also move counterculture in action. Makes sense. I think belief precedes action. If I believe that if I jump off of this, I'm going to break my ankle because I haven't worked out in a long time, I'm not going to jump. Belief precedes action. That sounds like a terrible idea. Or inaction. So it's not surprising we also move against the culture. And I think you all know what it means to be a Canadian, really, in 2017. Identity politics aside and all of that stuff. Just the general way we go about it in Leduc. So we just celebrated Valentine's Day 19 days ago. Valentine's Day. There's often an exchange of gifts between parties, right? Mostly men getting stuff for women. That's okay, ladies. We don't mind. Just saying. I could use a new jigsaw, Megan. No, she got me stuff. I'm just teasing. How many of you were given a gift? Raise your hand. Did you get something for Valentine's Day? Even a card. A card counts. Kiss on the cheek. Okay, lots. Majority. Yeah. Good. How many of you were given a gift that you were expected to give away? You did?
Yeah, I got chocolate.
Oh, okay, yeah. I got this for us, I mean you. You'll love these and me. How many of you were given a gift that you were expected to give away? That's the counterculture. That's where this hinges. It's really interesting. I was thinking about this. See, I grew up in a family. I'm going to take you into the weird life of Cody Lewis, okay? I grew up in a family, and Megan hates this, and she's right to hate it when I look at it objectively, that simply did not re-gift. Do we know what re-gifting is? Meaning, if you were giving something, you hung on to it and appreciated it, even if it was a terrible gift you had no use for. Like my dad once got me a hoodie of the Beatles. I personally, no offense to anyone who likes them, I hate the Beatles. I think they're terrible. And everyone tuned out. No more from that guy. I don't like the Beatles. I think just timing. Anyway, that's another sermon. Okay, right? So not only is it the Beatles, whom I don't like, I don't really wear hoodies, it was too small. My dad's an awesome dad. You know, he just messed up on this one thing. So I still have it. Right? I didn't even donate it. No, that's tucked away. My dad gave me that. That sits and collects dust. It's from my dad. So that's a little bit of weirdness that you can understand makes this, right? Right, wifey? That's why I have 7 guitars. Okay. Megan's still trying to understand that. God bless her heart. But I reiterate, like, how many of you were given a gift that you were expected to give away? Maybe not something edible, but if someone showed up with a Corvette. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12. I have two passages for you this morning that we're going to look at, both by Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Romans chapter 12. So both are easy to remember. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. It's in the New Testament. Paul's writing to this church in Corinth. So Corinth was very pluralistic, very much like you might see Toronto today. This kind of, which was rated the most multicultural city in the world. So like that, there's these meetings. It was on a coast, I think. So it was a metropolis, right? Yeah. So all these traders and all these cultures are coming in and out of there all the time. So naturally, it's got all these ideas come with them. That's important because we want to know the occasion. Why is Paul writing what he's writing? So starting in verse 1 of chapter 12, I'm reading from the ESV, the extremely spiritual version. Let's try. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Mark that verse. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he will. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. We now ask for Jesus' goggles. Help us look through this Bible and see you. And Lord, may we be bold enough to do what you're telling us to do, having heard it. In your name, amen. So we are continuists. This is going to be a little content heavy. So note takers, you're in your glory. Stretch out your fingers a little. We are continuists in the CNMA Canada, so the Christian Missionary Alliance. In this church, we believe God continues to use the spiritual gifts that we read about in our Bibles. He didn't stop. He keeps going. Everything that I just read, miracles, healing, prophecy, tongues, interpretations of tongues, faith, these sort of things, they keep going. They haven't stopped. We believe that. We commit to that. Often mixed with a Calvinist bent, no offense to anyone who is. Calvin, I'm looking at you. Cessationists is the other side. Believe that the office of the spiritual gifts has been closed with the deaths of the apostles. So that the 12 and like the new 12, because Judas was like not there. The new 12 used these gifts to establish the church, and then that was it. So that's what a cessationist believes. And now we don't see miracles of healing. We don't see these sort of supernatural things from God. So naturally the word cessation has the word cease in it. Ooh, the root of it is cease. The Bible times were the gift times to cessationists. So everything we read about, that's kind of stopped when Paul died. That's what the cessation, when John died, because he was sort of the oldest. Let's take this apart. Verse 1 to 3 contain Paul's motivation for writing the next 8 verses. This is really important. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant. That's what the King James Version says. Not a word we particularly like put in our direction these days. I don't want you to be ignorant. Hey, I'm not ignorant. I don't want you to be uninformed. I like that version a little better, which is the ESV, no bias. I want to give you the knowledge necessary to be able to navigate the manifestations of the Holy Spirit when you gather. It's a big way of saying, guys, when God shows up, I want to arm you with understanding. Some weird stuff is going to happen. Some weird stuff is going to happen. It's not just church. You don't come in. Sometimes supernatural things happen. And I want you to be armed when that happens. So he gives the church a litmus test. This is really important. This is a tool for all of you. In verse 2 and 3. Verse 3. We'll skip over 2. He just gives them their history, right? You guys were pagans, and you were led astray to mute idols, remember? You're like, yeah, I remember. So therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. That is very important. That is very important. Someone might claim to be using a gift, and they'd be, oh, okay, I'm going to prophesy. You know, LaDuke Alliance is going to have 120 people by September 1st, and, you know, and Jesus wasn't God. And then they keep going, and you go, wait, what? What? Hold the phone. Hold the prophecy just a moment. Back that bus up. If someone rises up and claims to have a prophetic word and says in it somewhere, Jesus anathema, any English people out there who love it, anathema is actually the Greek word. It means is accursed. Just cursed. Just not good in any way. That person's not operating in the Spirit. You know why? Because Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one and the same. Why would the Holy Spirit talk about the Son negatively? Why would that happen? That seems a little weird. So Paul draws attention, says one commentator. He draws attention to these past experiences, right, when you were pagans, to deduce general instructions on distinguishing the Holy Spirit's gifts from pagan religious experiences. Some of the pagans would kind of just shabala hibala habala, and they would have these supernatural things going on, probably influenced by demonic spirits. And Paul says, I need you to be able to figure out if they're saying Jesus be cursed, it's not the Holy Spirit, it's some other spirit. Remember, we live in a, not a dual universe, but a universe with evil and good. And Satan's doing the best he can. It ain't much, but he tries. If someone in the church at Corinth spoke such words, Jesus be cursed, even under supernatural influence, everyone's like, holy, something's happening with this guy. Like there's something, like Wayne's like shaking and he wants to share something. And then all of a sudden he just, Jesus be cursed. We go, nope. He was not speaking by the Spirit of God. Second, the Holy Spirit empowers those who proclaim that Jesus is Lord. I like that second part. We like to think that it's really us who proclaim God is good. Oh, it's in me. It's in my heart. But really, it's not. Paul says, look at this, guys. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. You can't even praise God without his help, is what Paul's saying. Did you know that? I hate hearing that. Because I'm kind of proud and I kind of want to do it. He said, no, you can't even praise God. You can't even say Jesus is amazing. Jesus is Lord, his position, without the Holy Spirit's help. And the reason he says this is because when people stand up and they operate in gifts, there's a couple motivations, right? Let's take it apart. They want to show off. It's possible they want to show off. They're acting in self-interest, right? They really believe God is influencing them. They really believe God is influencing them, but it's not God. There's all kinds of motivations. I could list them for a long time, but Luke 11, you don't have to turn there, 14 to 23 has this story. Some people claiming that Jesus casts out demons by the power of Satan. You may be familiar with that. He casts out a demon, and some onlookers go, yeah, he does that by the power of Beelzebub. And Jesus' response was later made famous by Abraham Lincoln. He says, a house divided against itself will not stand. The logic that Satan would fight against himself is foolish. So we can deduce that and say, why would God fight against himself? Why ever would the Holy Spirit ever lead us into untruth saying Jesus is cursed? Okay, I dwelled there for a long time because I want you to have that. If they speak ill of Jesus, it's not the Holy Spirit. That's what that means. The same is true of God. Why would he curse himself, right? That was a bit of an aside, but I want you to have that tool. When miracles are emphasized, Jesus is denied. When miracles are emphasized, Jesus is denied. Because it is possible, friends, Christian, to love the hand of God and not the heart of God. It is possible to love the hand of God and not the heart of God. The fancy word we use is fanaticism. Okay, so I digress. Come back in. Verse 4. Verses 4 to 6 are Paul's way of addressing a problem that the Corinthian church was having. Right, they come from this hugely pagan background. They were just kind of in all of the dark arts. Probably some witchcraft. Who knows? It's very pluralistic out there. They're attributing the gifts of the Holy Spirit wrongly. So not only they took those, Paul lists 9 gifts there. And they were saying kind of, well, speaking in different tongues, yeah, that's the Holy Spirit, but the rest, nah. So there are different kinds of gifts, he says, different kinds of service, different kinds of working, yet each variety is associated with a person of the Trinity. It's brilliant how he does this. He says there's varieties of gifts, one, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all to everyone. He does this little trifecta to relate it right to the Trinity. He says, maybe it's Jesus doing it, maybe it's God doing it, maybe it's the Holy Spirit doing it. No matter what, it's God, guys. These varieties, he's doing them all. And not only that, this commentator is so much smarter than me. Listen to this. The three terms, gifts, service, and working, relate closely to one another, but they're not synonymous. So they're not synonyms, right? Gifts is, gifts, service, working, they're all the same thing. No. He says, each item is the source of the one that follows. Service comes from gifts and working from service. You can't serve without the gift. I like to think of, I'm super impressed by waitresses who can hold like that giant plate of 97 different items and they're coming to the table. Well, they're just through people, right? Wah, bah, 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 boom, ski. Then just like hit the table and everything goes to everyone's plate and they're like. You can't serve if you don't have that gift, the gift of balance, right? I can't. You should, it's terrible, guys. I dropped my guitar because I'm just bad at life. The gift of balance. It's not a biblical gift, but I'm saying this is a thing. Right? You can't serve and you can't work without those gifts. So it's kind of this prerequisite. And where do the gifts come from? The Holy Spirit. Now, diversity. We're going to just, this kind of takes a right turn, but it makes sense. It's a bit of a buzzword today, diversity. Right? Our prime minister likes to say diversity is our strength, whatever that means. Paul is showing the Corinthians and us through their letter, that there are a diversity of gifts, service, and workings or activities that all come from the same source, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? They're diverse, whether it's prophecy, whether it's healing, whether it's faith, whether it's teaching. They all come from the same source. See, they kind of thought maybe two or three came from God, and then they're trying to slip maybe some of their pagans, idols in, right? Like, well, Deborah's kind of like the fertility god, so if they prophesy about someone having children, was that like Debbie? He says all of it comes from God, if it speaks well of Jesus. The diversities of gifts are fettered to a unity of purpose. Fancy way of saying, God doesn't just give the gift for fun. He's like, all right, I'm going to let Larry prophesy. I'll just and see what happens. Woo! It has purpose. God is an ordered God. He's not about chaos. He doesn't just plink things in there. So, I'm just going to let Tyler heal that person, and then people will be like, oh my gosh, and they'll laugh about it and nudge Jesus. This is not how he operates, right? I try to use absurd examples because Jesus always did that, right? You'll strain a gnat, but you'll swallow a camel. What? Swallow a camel? Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Everyone say common good. Say it again. Common good. Each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. That's verse 7. Here's why they happen, guys. To better everyone in the room. That's why that first motivation doesn't work, right? Oh, if I could just lift myself up, I'll stand up and prophesy, and then people will be like, wow, is Doug ever spiritual? Holy moly, move to the front. Move to the front, because the glory only goes about four rows back, right? Everyone fifth row and back is like, I'm done with this alliance, I'm out of here. Man, I'm having fun. Right? We get that. KJV. Sometimes the King James just nails it. Listen to this. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. To profit with all. Every man and woman. It's given out for your profit. God even helps us do church. How great is he? How awesome is God? He's like, I want you to follow me, but don't just follow me. I'm going to like tug you by the sleeve as much as you'll let me. Like, no, okay, watch out. There's a hole there. I want to tell that story, but that's not relevant. It cannot then be for the benefit of one or oneself. It can't be. If it's for everybody's profit, if only one person is profiting from it, it's not from God, because Paul says it's for the common good to profit with all, everybody. Everybody. Even the person who really doesn't have any faith, and they kind of just start their questioning. Well, that was pretty undeniable. I mean, that guy was in a crutches and now he's walking out of here. Either it's fake and they set that up, or there's more to this. That's for his prophet. That's a drawing of the Holy Spirit. So last week's sermon was on biblical community. God wants us to be interdependent. And we as Canadians, we like our privacy, right? We got our garages. Curtis said this once, and it was brilliant. We got the attached garage up front. You go from car to garage door down into your house. You don't even have to interact with your neighbors. We've become so private, right? But how are we so polite? Is it because we don't even know how to go beyond, hi, how are you? So we seem polite? God wants us to be interdependent. This is actually a place where you're supposed to kind of know everybody's beef in a good way so that you can help, so that you can be helped, right? I'm probably running into what Shannon did last week, but I just want to attach, gifts are part of that, guys. The reason this happens today is because Benny has a service gift and he's serving in the booth and he's bringing you the sound this morning. And Kari has a service gift and she brought you the words, and Daryl has a music gift and Ruth has a greeting gift. And they're serving. Church wouldn't happen without service. We call it our service. Our worship service. So the gifts of the Spirit are for all. The church is not an organization. It's an organism. You may have heard that before. It's kind of out there. The church is not an organization. It's an organism. In fact, Paul calls us the body. The body. If we are the body. The gifts are given. Another smarter person than me. Wiersbe. The gifts are given for the good of the whole church. They are not for individual enjoyment, but for corporate employment. It even rhymes. Isn't that wonderful? They're not for individual enjoyment, but corporate, everyone meeting, employment. Bringing them in, making them work. Wiersbe, brilliant. The Corinthians especially needed this reminder because they were using their spiritual gifts selfishly to promote themselves and not to prosper the church. How weird that mankind would do that. How strange that they would lose sight of it. Boy, every time I prophesy, I just move up a row. I'm just going to keep going. So here's your sermon in a sentence. If you can only listen this far, here's what you're taking away. We are given gifts. We are given... Here's your sermon in a sentence. If you can only listen this far. We are given to, so we can give to. T-O-O. We are given to, so we can give. Because really, we don't have anything to give as human beings. We talk about humanitarianism, but it's always a flop. You ever notice that? The moment it gets hard, people kind of run away. There are some incredible people out there who do a lot of good. It's a whole philosophical question. Can you do good without God? Another sermon. It is given to everyone to profit with all, guys. That's the counterculture aspect of this week's key idea. It's for everyone. So, pro tip, don't hoard your gift. Do not hoard your gift, because actually, it's not that you're being bad for hoarding it. Yes, that's true. But you're actually lessening our worship time together. I suffer. Tom suffers. We all suffer when you don't operate and employ that corporate gift. That blew my mind. My not wanting to share encouragement with someone actually makes church worse. Just dwell there for a second. I have the ability to not ruin, but lessen a Sunday morning. Especially me. If I just said, I'm not going to teach this morning. Well, some of you would be like, yeah! Going home. Going to get on the Netflix. In Canada in 2017, we're not typically given a gift that we're supposed to give away. Unless someone gives you licorice all sorts. Oh. And you hate the taste, so you give them away. One more commentator. The Spirit gives them to unite, them being the gifts, never to divide his body. Why would he divide against himself, right? Going back to that thought. His objective is the common good, a delightful phrase and one worth holding on to at all times. Before our new birth, we tended to live selfishly. Is that true of anyone? Me. I wanted to be a rock star. So bad. I just wanted people to praise me. Man, you really shred, dude. One song changed my life. That's what I wanted when I was in high school. I just wanted people, or that or an actor. Either way, fame. I just wanted fame. And now I'm in a humble church of 40. And you know what? I love it. I love it so much. And I don't want to toot my own horn, but that was all God. He's just like, okay, you're still proud here. Because when Megan says you're not doing that right and she's right, you're kind of a jerk about it. So I'm going to put my finger on that pride. Before our new birth, we tended to live selfishly. Yeah, that's why marriage is so hard. Perhaps using whatever gifts we had for personal profit or boasting. Personal profit or boasting, that's his thought. Maybe we used our gifts for personal profit or boasting. I wonder if you can even use it, if God will use you in a way that you're like, I can't think of the word, but fine, I'll pray that that person gets healed. Have you ever been there? You know what, that's when, in my life, some of the times where God really showed up. I'm like, oh, I just don't want to pray at the front at all for this person. And they show up, hi, would you pray with me? Yeah. I'm being honest with you guys. I want to be authentic, but, and guess what? Best prayers ever. God showed up huge because I was just like not there. So that gap, he just stepped in and he's like, phew. And we had one of the most intense moments of prayer I've ever had. Continuing on with this brilliant man by the last name of Prime. First name Optimus. But the new birth. Eventually I'll get a hold of those. But the new birth, right? John 3, being born again, changes that, being selfish. Since now we know that our gifts, and especially our spiritual gifts, are not for selfish employment, but for the benefit of the body of Christ. We should not ask, therefore, do I want to exercise my spiritual gift, but rather, how does the body need the exercise of my gift? Not do I want to use it, but what can I do today to better the body? That's why we come to church. You know this. You're not here to receive. You're here to give. I'm giving right now. Hopefully I will receive a little. You guys laugh at my terrible jokes. That's receiving enough. You come to give because it actually increases the body. It edifies everyone. If you know what your gift is and you use it, oh baby, things are going to just fire right up in this place, I tell you. So if you're hoarding your gift, I want to tell you, don't. If you're afraid to use your gift, don't be. Okay? Because the knees and the elbows and the fingers are suffering because of it. Some of you might feel like an appendix, meaning you're expendable. But you're not. God doesn't put you in a body just for kicks. You're part of that with all. If you're in this room right now, you're part of that with all. Part of that profit for everybody. It is a given that your gifts are to be given. You can tweet that out. It is a given that your gifts are to be given. You don't get to hoard them. You got to share rides in your Corvette, Tom. You did. Praise the Lord. I was so edified that day. I've loved Corvettes for years. That was one of my favorite moments. It was like wedding Corvette. She's still in the room? Okay, we're good. Don't tell her I said that. That can be my gift today. Okay, notice the key question in our Believe series. What gifts and skills has God given me to serve others? Frazee's a sneaky guy. What gifts has God given me? Could have stopped there, right? Just discover. Oh, I wonder what my gifts are. How exciting. And then he attaches to serve others. Oh, it comes with a bit of a cost, doesn't it? You don't get to just discover. You have to dispense. Frazee, sneaky. But he gets it. He read this. Guaranteed. I think he read this. Notice that phrasing, to serve others, that's probably Paul's motivation in writing the analogy that follows these gifts, starting in verse 12. If you have titles in your Bible, one body with many members. Think about it. If you're walking along, and all of a sudden your big toe just says, I'm not going to contribute, what happens? You're kind of like, right? You're walking on the side of your foot. I need it to be ridiculous so you get this. That's what you're going to remember. I don't know. He's up there wiggling. If the big toe just kind of quits, the whole body suffers. The whole body suffers. Every little bit. And Nathan can attribute how important your Achilles tendon is. Right, buddy? When that gives out. No. That's probably Paul's motivation. He says, many parts, one body. See, unity in diversity is the greatest expression of unity. It is the greatest, not uniformity. You don't have to look like everybody else. Not everyone has to be a prophet. Not everyone has to have the gifts of healing. Not everyone has to have faith. Diversity. Because guess what? If we're a bunch of elbows, man, we're in trouble. Can you imagine a bunch of elbows just trying to walk to work? That's what goes on in my head. There are interdependent relationship of the church. We're interdependent on each other. When we hoard our gifts, the body suffers. Listen at that end piece when he talks about the body in verse 26. He says this, 12:26, Corinthians. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. The opposite is true. When you're doing your job, the rest receive. They're all honored. They rejoice together. Have you ever been in a church where, like, people just get it? You could say yes if you think this church is that church. Yeah, I have, where people just get it. I love watching the soup and bun. It just happens, right? No, there's a bunch of people who serve. And it is like clockwork, man. And you know what? Then the whole body goes over there, and we rejoice together, and everybody profits. Not only do you have a full belly, you got a full heart. It's edifying each other. So if you're a service person, oh, we need you. Service people are indispensable, moving chairs. So what are they? Oh, praise the Lord, we have enough time. I'm going to break down those 9 for you so you can kind of get an idea. First, a word study. Pneumatikos. Everyone say pneumatikos. Pneumatikos. Scholars everywhere, I love it. It means from the Spirit, pertaining to the Spirit. It's an adjective. So in verse 1, that's where Paul used it. Now concerning spiritual gifts. The word gifts isn't actually in there. He's kind of literally saying, that's a help for us. He's sort of literally saying, now concerning the supernatural. That would get my attention if I were reading this letter. Now concerning things that are not human, but beyond. Super, so natural, supernatural. Now concerning that, you guys. So pneumatikos, that's what it means. Pneuma meaning spirit, as in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit natural, or supernatural. He says it's of spiritual conduct. He says it's not physical. It carries that weight. It also carries supernatural powers, as used in Ephesians 6:12. If you've ever read Ephesians 6, read it again. 15 times in Corinthians this shows up. Next times it's used, like 3 in Romans. Paul is really, guys, get this. Because in Corinth, there was a lot of not Jesus happening. And you have to know the real thing to know the counterfeit. Shannon tells that better. As a banker, you to study the bill, not the fake bill, and then you can tell the counterfeit from the real. He says, do that. Remember, they can say Jesus is Lord, but not Jesus is a curse. So, what are they? Hurry up. Wisdom is the first one. He says there's varieties of gifts. Each is given for the common good. We get that. Starting at verse 8. The Spirit, given through the Spirit, the utterance of wisdom. I'm going to use the JFB's definitions because they're better than mine. The ready utterance, bracket, for imparting to others, end bracket, wisdom. Namely, new revelations of the divine wisdom in redemption as contrasted with human philosophy. Long way of saying God told you something that was really, really brilliant and either you shared it with someone and it literally changed their life. It literally changed their life. It is that wisdom where you can see into a situation and say, well, have you tried this? And they try it, and it's God's way out. That's wisdom. The second is knowledge. It says the ready utterance of supernaturally imparted truths already revealed. And that's how it's distinguished from wisdom, right? Which relates new revelations. So wisdom is kind of a new wisdom, and knowledge is already known, which is kind of sort of what I'm operating in as I take the word apart, where God gives me an anointing to be able to go, oh, this means this, and share it with you. Faith. Now, it's not of doctrines. I believe that Christ is the Son of God. You should. But it's not of that. It's miracles, confidence in God, the impulse of the Spirit. Have you ever been there where for one reason or another, you're just like, God is going to do this. God is going to do this. That's the gift of faith. Even the Holy Spirit gives you faith. God helps us so much, it's hilarious. I think we do about like 0.8% of the work as Christians, honestly. That's faith. That's the third one. Healing is fourth. So it's actually plural in the Greek. And it means referring to different kinds of disease which need different kinds of healing. You know this one. This is when you pray for someone and God fixes them. whether immediately or over time, he fixes them. And supernatural healing. Because we can pray for God to use the medicine, and he does. But we can also pray for him to grow arms back, and he does. Miraculous powers. As healings are miracles, those here must refer to miracles of special or extraordinary power. This is something else. I'm not really sure what. And I'm allowed to say that. I don't know will always be a nice position for me. I'm not expecting you to split the Red Sea or anything, but I think it operates in that area. So prophecy, probably the one you're most excited about. As it's positioned between miracles and discerning of spirits, it sits between those two when Paul lists them, right? It implies the inspired disclosure of the future. Kind of like what I was joking about earlier. You know, LaDuke Alliance is going to have 120 attendees by September. Remember, these are all corporately done. So people will be, okay. And then remember in September, hey. And then if God came through, then we know that that was actually a prophet from the Lord or a prophecy. Distinguishing between spirits. We use the word discernment. You may know this word. Discerning between the operation of God's spirit and the evil spirit or unaided human spirit. A friend of mine told me a story on Friday. I don't remember if anyone's familiar with, I think it was in BC. There was a guy going around stealing and killing children. Chris something, in the 80s. Anyway, he and his family are at a resort, a beachside sort of thing, and he's going back to the truck, and he sees this guy who's kind of, looking toward his children. And you see, that's pretty weird, and he said this weird, gut-wrenching sense came into him. He said, the opposite of peace came about him. It was just war in himself as he looks at this guy, and this guy's looking right past him. Looking at these children. And he looks toward this man. The man sees him. Kind of steps back and wanders off. Next day in the paper, front page, that man's face. Caught. Child serial killer. This man. He encountered evil and his spirit told him that it was evil. That is discernment in action. That is discernment in action. That's what it looks like. If you get that uneasy feeling, Christian, pay attention to it. It may be the Holy Spirit just going, I don't think you should go in there. Kind of, boy, I've got this. And it can even be for simple things. When I was candidating at a church in Chauvin, it was all good, all fun, happy, thought I was in the Lord's will. It was before I got here. And on the way out, Megan and I are just like, ugh. Not that it was the demonic church or anything, but it was just the Holy Spirit saying, no, not here. Not here. We had no peace about it. And then I went in and I preached. I left. The interview went terribly. I left. We had peace on the way home. Turned back to look at Chauvin. Ooh. That's discernment. It's a cute little town. Wouldn't have mind serving there at all. But God had bigger and better things. Maybe not necessarily big. It doesn't have to be bigger to be better. Another sermon. Speaking in tongues. Okay, we're here. Is this what you were waiting for? Is this what you were waiting for? I went to a Pentecostal Bible college. I believe where the CMA stands on this. Many of the commentators noted that this was the one. This was the use and abuse. This is the one. Because boy, do you look impressive when you stand up at the front and say, listen to my heavenly language. Should have bought a Honda. Have you heard that? Should have bought a Honda. The JFB says it's the power of speaking in various languages to start, also a spiritual language unknown to man. So there's two. There's glossolalia and there's, xenolalia, cultural. So someone might stand up like Curtis and then he's just like, boom, and he starts speaking in German. And Benny's like, booyah, I know German. If that happens, Paul says there's supposed to be an interpretation. That's why that next gift is right after. The bringing forth of the understanding. This is actually my definition. the bringing forth of the understanding of that corporately presented message in a tongue not primarily used in church. If someone stands up in English, you don't need the interpretation. We all speak English. Some people are like, what? Right? So that's kind of the big one. This is where we separate from the Pentecostals. There's a couple spots. But they say that it is the initial evidence of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you some interdenominational doctrinal standards. They say, that's how you know that you've got a little extra of the Holy Spirit in you. And what that has done, in my opinion, not the opinion of this denomination or this church, in my opinion, created second-class Christians. People who speak in tongues and those who don't. Or people who've received the Spirit and those who don't. And that's exactly what was happening in Corinth. I've received the Spirit. Shoulda, bada, hunda, shoulda, bada, hunda, shoulda, bada, hunda. Right to the front row. Booyah. Shoulda, bada, hunda. I would say shoulda, bada, Toyota. You get it, though. It's used in abuse. It's impressive. I've seen it. I've seen tongues happen, both properly and improperly. And it is really cool. It is really cool when God uses either the heavenly language or another language. You're like, boy, does that sound like, what is that? Is that like Italian? It comes right out. But it is useless without an interpretation. Why? Because it doesn't profit with all. Right? Bring it right back. What is the purpose? Is God using it to edify the body? Is the toe just showing off? Should have bought a Honda. What good does that do? The rest of me is like, okay. Now, your key verse, I'm going to give it to you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, praise the Lord. Because if we were all up here preaching, that would be really bad. So in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Did you notice that part? You actually belong to the people in here. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Paul just lays it out here. I love this. He's like, he makes me think of kind of an old guy who's had enough and he's sitting in a lazy boy and his kids are asking him too many questions. Why does God do that? Just because God wants to. Why does God do that? He just turns to the kids and he's like, ksk. And then he says this. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith, okay? If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. Yeah, but my gift is giving. If it's giving, then give generously. Yeah, well, I'm a leader. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. You love, like, I picture Paul just, he's fed up with the Romans at this point. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy. If it is blank, then blank. Let me break that down for you real easy. If your gift is this, do that. That's what Paul's saying. Hey, use it or lose it. Use it or lose it. If you have a gift, give it away. Our sermon in a sentence, we are given to so we can give to. That is why. The gifts are real. God is at it. I've seen them work. You can trust my testimony or desire and ask him yourself. He does all kinds of cool stuff. I've seen him heal people. I've seen him just show up in a way that, like, he manifested his presence that, like, changed a man's life. I've seen God use different tongues, use interpretation, use prophecy. He does it all. He keeps going. And the reason some people say, how come we don't see the gifts anymore? Maybe this is more of a Pentecostal circle. How come this isn't happening? Why isn't this? I have to put it to you guys. Are you hoarding your gift? That is why we can't be an island, Christian. You won't survive on your own because you won't be edified by the gifts. You just become this kind of legalist Christian that's sort of like, well, I don't drink or chew or go with girls who do, plus Jesus is Lord. You'll get in, but, I mean, it's not going to be great. It's not the life abundant that Christ said for you. So ask yourself, what can I do for my body today, each Sunday morning? Or each time you go to your small group. It's important. Here's your application. Number one, discover. What gift has God entrusted you for service? What has he given you? Do you not know? Ask God. Ask others. You'd be surprised. We're so blind to ourselves, right? The reason I'm standing here is because someone once said to me in this church, I think you would be a great preacher. Like 9 years ago, someone just said, you seem to have, you got this leadership quality about you. Would you be interested in kind of taking on some ministries? The gift of encouragement. They discovered my gift. Ask others who know you. Hint, hint, small groups. Hint, hint, small groups. That would be a fun thing to do around the circle. I think Shannon has the sarcasm gift? No, I'm just kidding. I had to get my shot in. He's not. Right? But wrapping up, guys, discover it. Because when you know what it is, you can use it. And then when you can use it, I can benefit from it. I hate to be selfish, but I want to see you guys do these things. How cool would that be? Oh, my back hurts, man. Sit. Should have bought a Honda. Boom. Healed. Right? We laugh, but I mean, I made that kind of funny, but really, that's what God has to offer. Right? We've been kind of desensitized because we're a little secularized and we're like, oh, it's happening, sure, in Brazil and stuff, and people are even getting raised from the dead, I've heard. But not in Western Canada because for some reason. Throw that reason out. I dare you to pursue these gifts. Discover. Secondly, dispense. I like use it or lose it. Use it or lose it. It's more like use it or lose out. Plus, you lose out, and so does everyone in this room if you don't use your gift. How can you better the body at LaDuke Alliance? How can you honor God in stewardship? Times, talents, treasures. And thirdly, develop. Notice the gifts of those around your table. You always have something encouraging to say. It might be an example. Right? It's like, you know what? Marty, you always have something encouraging to say. I think you might have that gift. Gift of encouragement. Just every time I come around you, I get edified. It's just something about you. You know who does that? Keith. Keith does. Or you really explain Scripture well. Do you think you have the gift of teaching or knowledge? Some of our leaders, I'm curious. I got blown away by what some of you have said. Not that I'm some sort of heavyweight theologically, but it's just awesome. And then I benefited from that. Yeah, you know what? Jesus, bread of life, manna from heaven. Thank you for that. You've just made Jesus that much better for me. We're often blind to our own gifts, guys. Let other people maybe drop a little hook in the water and see. And finally, exhort their use. Encourage people. Hey, you're a teacher. Why don't you say something? There are plenty of spiritual gift tests online. Some of them are about 105 questions long. Go for it. That'll get the ball rolling if you have no idea what your gift is. Discover, dispense, and develop. Because guess what? It's for profiting with all. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your time. Thank you for your word. I pray that you would bless us with the ability to bless each other. Help us discover our gifts if we don't know what they are. Help us develop those gifts in others. And help us dispense our gifts so that, Lord, when we meet together, people would say, surely God is among them. Look at the way they love one another. Look at the works of the Holy Spirit. Would you bless us, Father, because you do. It's who you are. I pray that you would raise up some of the weirder gifts in this church, Father, not for our personal benefit, but our corporate employment. Not individual enjoyment, Lord, but instead in a way that would, just build faith and that your will would be made plain to all of us. We ask all of this in your name. Amen. So I have no song of response, but what I was thinking is if you have a sheet of paper or if all of you have a cell phone, if you have a notes thing, even better, if you have a paper Bible, you can find a way to do this elsewise. You have one underline and two circles. I want you to underline the gift that you have. And I want you to circle two gifts, or the gift that you want, if you don't know what you have. And I want you to circle two gifts that you think two people you know have, and then tell that person. Doesn't have to be right now. Well, it does have to be right now. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he turn his face upon you and shine his countenance toward you. May you know that he is the giver of the gifts and that you get to give too. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace.